when I am preaching a message about issues like that, I speak from experience. Sit down with somebody who doesn't agree with you. Sit somebody that you might have issues regarding sexuality in the Bible. Just learn from them and sit and hear and listen without having prejudgments already. Because how are we going to learn? How are we going to adapt in a society if we just continue to just make these non-essential issues essential?
Thanks for listening to the Scafidiology Podcast. We've done two of a series of probably 6 to 8 interviews with faith leaders in the area of southeastern Wisconsin. And I decided to do these conversations because I wanted to look at the sort of this connection and the mixing of the conversation in and around politics in our country and the role of faith leaders in sort of, I don't know, the right word is not massaging it, but sort of looking at how that may creep in or in some cases stays out of a delivery of a faith message. And we have a great guest today, Pastor Timo Rios, United Methodist pastor. First of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about your church.
Our church is 10 years old. It was a church plant from the United Methodist Church. We are a multicultural, multi-generational church. Pretty thriving right now, about 70 average on a Sunday.
Nice.
So we are pretty excited.
So would you say that your church is representative of other United Methodist Church? You obviously mentioned some diversity and some cultural differences. Is that sort of your approach, your open doors to everyone?
Absolutely. Open doors, open hearts, open minds. We are a little bit different than your normal traditional United Methodist Church. We are more contemporary.
How so?
We have more contemporary music. We don't do the hymns. We don't do a lot of the liturgy, but we do use liturgy for our communion and baptism ceremonies, anything like that.
And how long have you been involved with that church?
I have been a pastor. I am in my 7th year as a pastor.
In that 7 years, has that delivery that you were just talking about, the music and the liturgy, has that changed a lot in the 7 years?
No, actually it hasn't.
Pretty consistent?
Pretty consistent, but we have adapted some new songs, some new contemporary hymns, per se. So that way some people have been asked about that, newer members. Hey, let's do some hymns.
In my generation, they called it being hip.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
If you could say, yeah, we're a little bit more hip based on the other churches in our denomination.
And I think that matters because, you know, I've had this conversation with faith leaders. Ultimately, it's about filling the seats. If you're going to deliver a message, you want someone to hear that message, and they're not going to hear it if they're not sitting in those seats looking at you while you deliver it.
Exactly.
So let's sort of get into your background a little bit before we start digging into some of the issues. As someone who does what you do, a faith leader in a church, United Methodist in your case, how long ago did you understand in your life? And you're still a young guy, but when did you decide this was what you were going to do with your life?
Well, I gave my life to Christ when I was 21. I'm 46 now.
Okay.
I served in the church. My wife and I came to Christ together, and therefore we actually served under some pastors under a non-denominational church. So we were taught a lot of different theology. But when we came to the United Methodist Church, that was back in 2015. So my theology has changed a lot. I've been under teaching now. I'm required to be in school. So I really believe and stand firm with the Wesleyan theology.
John Wesley. And describe that for people because not everybody knows what that means.
It's the teachings of John Wesley, grace. It talks about prevenient grace, believing that God's has always been with us, whether we walk away or not. Baptisms, if you've been baptized as a child, that doesn't ever go away. You know, it just when you leave the church and you come back, it just we reaffirm your faith, you know. So that's important to us in our theology to teach people that God has always been with us.
Sort of a general generic question. Are people listening?
People are listening.
Yeah.
And people have a lot of questions actually nowadays, especially a younger generation, because we serve a community, a congregation that has people from 18 years old. I mean, we have children all the way up to like 40, 50 years old. So there's this new generation coming in that has a lot of skepticism to the church, but they want to come back.
What's the skepticism based on?
The skepticism is about, well, are you real or not? Are you authentic? What does Jesus actually really teach about these issues that we're facing in our society today, especially political stuff? you know, and then heart issues. Where do I find this peace of mind after I'm dealing with so much? There's so much anxiety, so much stress going on in young people's lives.
Since you mentioned the word politics, and that's the very theme of these episodes that I'm doing on Scafidiology, is faith and politics. In your mind, as someone who delivers the message every week, every day, and that is your lifestyle that you've chose, how do those two things connect? Whether it's the specifics or just the generalities, and I would say, and I've had this conversation with other faith leaders, how we treat each other, I imagine, is a perfect relevant conversation that one might have about the intersection of faith and politics.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's important. I think faith and public life have never been completely separate, and politics has a lot to do with that part of life, the public life. So I think what for me as a faith leader, it's important that, we give the scriptures, right? You see the stories of the prophets speaking to the kings. You see Jesus spoke about power and justice and how the early church actually wrestled with this idea of how do we live faithfully under political systems. So I think it's important that we hit on a lot of those issues as I bring messages every Sunday. And even it was a little hard during times where the election season.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this as faith leaders?
Let's talk about the messaging, because when I had my last conversation with Rabbi Jacob Herber, who serves out on the eastern coast of the United States, he was talking about, he kind of knows where his members are,
mm-hmm.
but he also acknowledges, and I'm curious to hear what you think, they're all different. There may, whatever the numbers are, whatever the ratio is, whatever the percentages are, they all have different viewpoints. How do you like wrangle with that when you're delivering your message? How do you sort of start with that?
Well, what I do is I do coffee with the pastor, and I want to bring topics with people that have to do with some political, based topics. They come to me and ask me, what does scripture show about this and that, and how do I vote? And I meet the people where they're at. And we have people in our congregation that are both left, right, and those that don't even – that choose not to even vote. So my perspective as a faith leader is that I don't direct people who they're supposed to vote. I just direct where your heart should be when you come out to the voting booth.
Is it easy – and this is from someone who's not a professional and not someone who delivers the message of faith, at least in the way that you do – is that connection, that sort of understanding, that messaging easy to deliver if you're looking at it that way? Because so much of politics, this, is controversial, certainly a hot button, right?
Yeah.
Raises the temperature in the room, if you want to use that analogy. So how do you like reconcile that as someone who has to wrangle with those things in delivering the message?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I approach it carefully and intentionally. I always consider the pulpit a sacred space for anyone, and myself included. People come to the church, they want to encounter God. They want to hear the word of God. They want to be spiritually formed. But if a pastor turns to the pulpit and uses it for a political platform, this can damage trust and divide a community.
Would you ever directly name a political candidate or a leader, elected official, in a message of faith?
Absolutely not.
Never. That's never. Like your line.
Correct.
Do people ask you to do that sometimes?
I've never had anybody ask me, but I've had people try to persuade me on some topic. Hot issues.
Well, people love the conversation. If you're a good conversationalist, which you are, because that's why you're here, people always want to see or feel out, even their faith leaders, what they're thinking about things.
Absolutely.
So I've asked this question of most of my guests when I talk about faith and politics, and it's something that frustrates me. I grew up Catholic. I was an altar boy. Went to Catholic school. Went to church 6 days a week. Mass 6 days a week. Open confession. We walked up to the front of the church. They had two chairs, priest and student, and you confessed your sins, and they did all of the things that they do in that sacrament. I'm frustrated as a person who spends his time talking in a microphone that what I see from, not everybody, some people of faith, they exercise that faith stridently and strongly in their place of worship, but when they go outside, they close those doors of their church or their synagogue or whatever it is, they demonstrate behavior that doesn't seem to me to be faith-based. They attack, they I've seen this openly on social media and in conversations where they attack people who differ from them politically. Have you seen this? And how, as a faith leader, would you approach that conversation?
Well, I think I have seen it. I have seen people actually walk out of the church because of an issue that wasn't brought up during the sermon that they appealed to.
They felt it was topical? Or
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they felt it was topical. Not that I preach politically based sermons, but I bring the message of hope from a moral and spiritual perspective. What does Jesus say? That's always what I bring to the, for example, what does Jesus say about caring for the poor? What does Jesus say about welcoming the stranger? What does Jesus say about having to deal into our civic duties? So I bring those hot topics to them. So what I always do is I pray with them. I have a conversation. I meet with them at coffee shops. Let's talk about this and try to bring this to some kind of unity or peace.
As somebody who was an elected official, I was a mayor for 5 years and an alderman before that. I often understood that the conversations that you had with people that may not agree with you on everything were some of the most beneficial and helpful conversations, because you came to not a consensus, but an understanding that there are different viewpoints, and that having a one-to-one or small group to small group conversation about it could often soften, not soften the blows, but soften the heat of the moment.
Yes.
Do you see that?
I do. That's why I've always, when I am preaching a message about issues like that, I speak from experience. Sit down with somebody who doesn't agree with you. Sit somebody that you might have issues regarding sexuality in the Bible. Sit with somebody who, just learn from them and sit and hear and listen without having prejudgments already. Because how are we going to learn? How are we going to adapt in a society if we just continue to just make these non-essential issues essential?
When you approach the creation of your message, and I love this part of it, and I've done this with my other guests, what are you thinking about? Because it's really your call, right? You have the words of your faith, right? Whatever that is for each faith, it's different, right? Many commonalities and similarities, and obviously the messaging is pretty consistent across. But how do you stack that up? How do you decide on any given week, this is where I'm going to approach? Do you think about the news stories sort of in the background?
I do. I really believe as a Methodist that, as John Wesley said, that our personal holiness is also our social holiness, that we have to look at what's happening in the news. We have to look at what's happening outside the doors of our congregations, but we also look at what's happening inside as well. But all of that is brought into my mind as I'm reading, as I'm praying, and I'm writing the sermon during the week. I'm like, what does this have to say according to what the news? Like when Hot Topics came up, Kirk, what's his name? Oh, my goodness. I can't even think of his name right now. Oh, my goodness. Just issues.
Right.
Issues that happen on the news. All of that is brought up to the forefront of my mind when I'm writing a sermon.
This is just a nuts and bolts question because I'm always fascinated. How long does it take you to put together a sermon?
A sermon?
Yeah. It's a long process, right?
About 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
20, 25 minutes. But I break that down during the week.
Okay. And as someone who gets to speak on a microphone for a living, I'm always curious about this because you're looking at your congregation, your mm-hmm. your members.
Yeah.
Can you gauge if they're getting it? They're hearing what I'm saying, or I'm not sure.
All of that.
Yeah.
All of that. You'll have people who'll say amen, or they'll say yes, or they'll people that are just staring at me with a very weird frown face, and I just keep going with it. I really believe that not everybody is going to get it, but I believe that they're listening to it, so it's all rounded.
You have to have the tough conversations as well as the pleasant conversations. The birth of a child, pleasant conversation, but the passing of a family member or other horrific story. You have to deal with all of that. How do you juggle that because you have your own life,
exactly.
Right? You have to figure out your own stuff. How do you juggle all that?
Well, Steve, I'm married. I've been married,
which helps, I would imagine.
I got three.
Sometimes
I got three kids.
Yeah,
and so I have pastoral care as well, people around me that help me with that and navigate my life. So that really helps. When you have people around you, I have to take away. I have to have a mental health day. I have to make sure I'm exercising.
What is a mental health day for you? What would that be? Like you're stepping away from your job duties. What would that be?
That would be going to Planet Fitness.
Working out?
Working out. Yeah. That would go, it would mean hanging out with my family, going to the museum, to the zoo, getting away with my wife for a dinner date or something like that.
Love it.
You know, just different things that get me away from, because my wife forces me to do that stuff, because sometimes I'm not. I'm always writing. I'm always reading. And I'm always just thinking. And my wife says I overthink a lot, so I need to do those things.
I think a lot of wives say that about their husbands. A couple quick ones as we sort of wrap here. And one is a big, broad topic. The other one is, how much do you love what you do and you love your life? How much?
I love it because God gave it to me. I love what I do. I love getting up in front of our congregation and explore with them the issues that we're dealing with in our society and our culture. But it's also very different for me, Steve, because I'm Mexican and my family migrated here. My dad is an immigrant from Mexico. So my perspective and my story resonates with a lot of people that are in my congregation, because I would say about 80% of my congregation is Hispanic Latino. So I love doing it because it's helping them navigate through life when I bring them the question of scripture.
So if we're talking about timely topics, one's ethnicity is certainly is a hot topic.
Absolutely.
So how are you dealing with that conversation?
Well, we have resources through the United Methodist Church and through our conference that help us navigate where people are feeling threatened, they feel fearful. There are ways that we can fight against that. There's attorneys, there's legal things that they can do in order to keep them safe. And we protect them by praying with them and helping them out if any situation they need. So
this sort of leads into my last one, and I've asked most of my guests this question. Are you optimistic, given the political environment of the country that we live in today, which is 2026 United States of America, are you optimistic that faith, your role in faith, will play a role in sort of easing some of the tension, maybe knocking down some of the hate, and maybe moving the story forward versus backward?
I'm always hopeful. I know in the time that we're living in right now, it's a lot of tension, but I'm always hopeful because I really believe that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but the kingdom of God is forever. And so our faith is absolutely important for us to believe the scriptures, the teachings of Jesus that hold us not only accountable, but hold us to hope that one day we will have eternity with him. So when we look at just what's happening right now, this has happened years ago. It happened in the book of Acts. It happened before that. It happened from the very beginning in Genesis. But God had always provided a way for his people. And if we trust him and we stand firm in our faith, there's always going to be hope.
You're pretty good at what you do. I gotta catch one of your. Could I be invited to catch one of these?
You are always welcome, Steve. All of you.
Yeah, Pastor Timo Rios, love the way you approach your job, and thanks for being part of this conversation on Scriptology. And I'm going to ask you on the podcast. So we're at some point going to bring these faith leaders together. Would you be willing to do part of our live show about faith and politics on my regular show?
Absolutely, yes. I'm there.
Absolute pleasure to meet you. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You can catch the podcast, Scriptology podcast, that is, wherever you get your podcast, or certainly on the podcast page at WTMJ.com. Continue to follow that page because we're going to have more conversations with faith leaders across the community, an important conversation to have in the times that we live in. Thanks for listening to the podcast.